Okay, so we're on Daf Beis. We're beginning Sefer Beis, and welcome everybody, and I wish much hatzlacha in your learning. The topics in Masechet Beis, it's called the Lashon Chazal Masechet Yantiv. So it deals with certainly with Melechet Ochel Nefesh. Melechet Ochel Nefesh, Shabbos and Yantiv are very different from one another. On Shabbos, if a person is Mechal Shabbos B'meizid and Edim, so he gets Skila. And then Bishogi, it's karet. But by Yantiv, so you're over a lav. If you violate Yantiv, you're over a lav. And there's no korban chatat with Yantiv. And Shogig, you don't get karet with Yantiv. In other words, b'meizid, you're chayav. For Shabbos, no. Okay, for Shabbos, if it's b'meizid and Edim, you get skila. If it's meizid and there's no Edim or no hatra, then you get karet. You get karet, okay? And then Bishogi, you get a Korban Chatat. With Yantiv, B'meizid, you get Malkot, and then Bishogi, it's an Aveira, okay? So the big difference with Yantiv, though, a lot of the Dinim are the same as for Shabbos, but then there are the Dinim that are different. So the one main difference is Melachot Ochel Nefesh. On Yantiv, you're allowed to do Melachot in the preparation of food. Machloket Rishonim, what exact Melachot are you allowed to go? So he says over here, the Rishonim have a Machloket about Ksirat, Kina, Disha, Tzeda. Am I allowed to grind food on? Am I allowed to be close to the food? Can I capture an animal to shecht it on Yantiv? So a number of Rishonim hold that you're not allowed to because those things aren't typically done the day you would eat the food. So that comes up a little bit later in the Masechta. And then there's also Machloket about Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. So the topics in the Masechta are going to do with Malachet Ochel Nefesh, and also Heterim for other things like Otsan Havara and Dinam Amuks and Hachana, which we'll have tonight, and Bishul and Hachana from one day to the next with Eruvei Tavshilin, and things that are related to Tchumen. That's a topic in the Masechta. So, as I said, the Rishonim call this Masechet Yantiv. So, but really, on the top of the page, it says Beitza. So it's unusual. This is from the Moroda Daf Yomi. It's unusual that most Masechtot, the name does not come from a word in the Mishnah. In other words, like Brachot is not in the Mishnah. Shabbos is not in the Mishnah. Eruvin is not in the Mishnah. And there are some Masechtot where you do have a name, like Megillah, but Megillah is summarizing what it's about. In other words, it's true, the Mishnah says Megillah the Great, and so forth, but that's dealing with Purim, and Sukkah deals with Hilchot Sukkah. And Shvuot, not the holiday, but Shvuot deals with the Halachot of oaths, Shvuot. But anyway, but here it's unusual because we have just the word Beitza. So we mentioned that the Gonim and Rishonim refer to Masechet Yantiv. The Masechet Beitza, so the Shas and Shubas Mechtam LeDavid by Rabbi David Pardo, he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in 1782, and he served as the Rosh Hashiva of a famous yeshiva. He writes in his Sefer, Shoshanam LeDavid, an interesting reason why it's called Beitza. He says it's called Beitza to tell people that Gilu B'Ra'ada, that at the time of the Simcha, which is Yantiv, you have to remember Yom HaMavet, the day of death, and a Beitza is a ma'achal of avelos, a ma'achal for mourning, which galgal chozer ba'olam. So in other words, it's not saying, it's Maseches Yantiv. I mean, it's dealing with Yantiv, but it's called Beitza. I mean, Beitza is the first word in the Mishnah, but the reason it's like Yotzei Minaklal is on Yantiv, we want people to remember also, sadly enough, that's what he says, the woman of the Yom the Hamita. Now, he says, now, whether it's called Beitza or Beya is a whole tumult among the Mefarshim. So the Tiferes Yisrael brings down, actually, Tiferes Yisrael says like this. I looked at it today. Tiferes Yisrael, he mentions that he says, why is it called Beya? The Beitza is the word. So it's referred to in the Olam Yeshivas as Beya. Beya means an egg in Aramaic, but why this Masechta to refer to in Aramaic? Everything else is Hebrew. Mishnah is Mishnaic Hebrew. So he quotes from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that Beitza is like, it's not like a nice term. And Beitza refers to a part of male anatomy. So we don't want to refer to it that way. So we say Beya. But the Tiferes Yisrael rejects that. And he says, though, he Tiferes Yisrael says, the reason is that there's Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, that one Talmud was publicly darshaning halakha, and the halakha was mei beitza meina machshirim. The words mei beitza means the fluid from the beitza is not a machshir. We've had machshirim many times in Daf Yomi, so it means that in order for food to be susceptible to tumah, it has to have one of the seven machshirim go on it. So this Talmud was darshaning Rabim, mei beitzim is not a machshir. And the people who heard him thought he was saying mei bitzayim, like the water of the swamp, is not. In other words, beitzim, bitzayim, it sounds pretty similar. Now, according to the Balei Tosfot, the mistake was between beitzim and bitzim. But either way, this caused a tekala, so therefore we call it Be'ah. That's what he wants to say. Now, the Gra, though, he brings out the Gra was not makpid on this, and he calls them a Masechta Beitza. Now, it comes out, he says, that Beitza is one of the shortest Masechtot in Shas, even though it's 39 Dapim, but in terms of words, it's very short, because most of the Dap is taken up with Rashi and Tosos and things like that. So in actual words, it's one of the shortest Masechtot in Shas. Okay, so I think we have that. Now, let me just stay a little bit here. I think we've covered most of our Hakdama. Okay, I think we're good. Okay, let's go into the first. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did? Okay, we're in Dapis. Everybody gets a nice, clean, new start. So the Mishnah on Beis Amin Aleph. So Beitza, Shnol Dov Yom Tov. If a Beitza is laid on Yantiv, Bechamrim Techel, Bechalumrim Lo Techel. Bechamrim says that egg can be eaten, Behel says it can't be eaten. In other words, boiling down to the simplest element, Bechamrim is saying Beitza is Muksa. Now, again, let me just review briefly. We know that in Halacha, there are certain items, Muksa, we're not allowed to move them on Shabbos and on Yantiv. And the Dinim and Muksa are substantially similar between Shabbos and Yantiv, but there are some differences. And there are instances where Yantiv is more Chamur with the Dinim and Muksa than Shabbos. Now, with Muksa, we studied already Masech Shabbat. We had some Dinim and Muksa. I think there's a lot here in Bay about Muksa. But if you remember, we learned in Shabbos that in the time of Nehemiah, when they came back from the Galus, so Shabbos was weaker among Klal Yisrael. So Nehemiah, I think it was in Perikol Kalin in Shabbos, so Nehemiah said, he declared Muksa over a large number of items. Almost everything was Muksa, except for the Kalim used the eating. Then as the Shmir Shabbat improved, so he relaxed it. So why do we have the Dinim of Muksa? So the way the Rambam says that we want to distinguish, we want to sensitize people between Shabbos and other days during the week. Just like we see in the Nevi'im, they say, the way you walk on Shabbos shouldn't be the way you walk during the week. And Midaber Davar, the way you speak on Shabbos shouldn't be the way you speak during the week. So it makes sense that the things I touch shouldn't be the same as on Shabbos as during the week. And then he says also, like if a person, let's say he's unemployed, a person's not working, how is Shabbos different to him? He stays home. He doesn't feel any different Shabbos from during the week. So Mela, so we're having it with all the sensitizing all the Kalim, and now everything is different for him. The Ravid learns differently. The Ravid learns that the Dinim and Muksa are, and again, also Muksa, everybody will agree, Muksa is also related. There are different categories of Muksa. So like one category is Kli Shem Lafto L'Isur, Kli, which is normally used for prohibited action. So everybody will agree that that is to prevent you from doing the action. In other words, a hammer is Muksa, I shouldn't come to nail things on Shabbos. That's clear. And the Rambam will agree with that. And the Ravid says that the Dinim Muksa are a getter for Hotzah. We're afraid people will carry on Shabbos. So by sensitizing different objects, I like think, you know, twice and three times before I lift an object up. And that will remind me about carrying on Shabbos. So here, again, we'll get into the different categories of Muksa, but we're introduced to Muksa in line one. So we're saying, Beis Shalom Beyom Tov, Beit Shamrim Teichel, says the egg is not Muksa, so you can eat it. And obviously you can move it around as well. He says, Beit Hillel Mirim Lo Teichel, Beit Hillel says you can't eat it, it means it's Muksa. Now, the Mishnah here, this is atypical, right? Usually Beit Hillel is Mekil, usually Beit Hillel is more lenient, Beit Shamrim is more Machmir. So here the Mishnah is mentioning, with respect to Yantiv, three dinim were Beit Shammai's Mekil and Beit Hillel is Machmir. So this is the first halacha. Now, the next two halachot don't relate to our topic of Muksa, but the Mishnah mentions it. Beit Shammai Mim B'Chzai B'Chameis B'Chak B'Tevet. Beit Shammai says this is in terms of the shear, the minimum shear, to be chayav for possessing chametz on Pesach and allowed to lo, you know, ba'yira ba'yimatzei, not to possess chametz on Pesach. So according to Beit Shammai, Seor bechazai, Seor is the dough that you use to, like, yeast, you know, to cause other things to rise, a very yeasty dough. Seor bechazai, the Seor, the shear of the Seor is a gezayit, it's a small shear, but chametz b'ka kotevet, but full-fledged chametz is a kotevet, kotevet is a date. It's a larger. Beit Hillel says it doesn't make a difference to Seor, it doesn't make a difference if it's the regular chametz, it's gezayit. That's also a case where Beit Shammai is more mekil than Beit Hillel. And the last case is, and this we'll have later on in Dav Zayin, Dav Peh, which I think comes up a little bit on Yantav of Rosh Hashanah. And again, I wish everybody a happy, healthy new year and much hatzlacha in the coming new year. Hashochei chai v'of b'yamtav. A person shechs a chai or an oaf on Yantav, and as soon as you see chai v'of, you know, you have to think kisui dam, it's from the Torah, to cover the blood with dirt, with kisoba afar, but only for a chai v'of. If a person shechs a chai or an oaf on Yantav, Beit Shammai says you'll take like a spade, a shovel, and you'll cover it over the dirt. Now, the covering it over has a lot of potential problems. One is choresh, right? That I would think is malach of choresh, and the other is mukhsa, because dirt can be mukhsa. So the Gemara will discuss this later on, Dav Zayin Ched. And the Gemara is going to say it's talking about a shovel that was already placed in the dirt. Therefore, it's not a problem choresh, and that the dirt is loose dirt. So loose dirt. It's not a problem of crushing the dirt, and then we'll talk about the muksa issue. Beit Hillel Omrim lo yishchot. Beit Hillel says you can't shech the animal. Please, somebody can turn the wolf or whatever you got going. Okay, he says Beit Hillel Omrim lo yishchot l'mkina yaluah far mukhan mibod yom. Beit Hillel says you shouldn't shech unless you have dirt ahead of time that you had prepared and was designated for kisui dam. Umodim, but both Beit Shammai and Hillel agree, Shim Shachad, Shechbur B'dekir V'chaseh, that if you did check, that you should cover it over with the spade. He says, and then Sheifer Kira Muchan, who we don't understand this halacha, but I think the Gemara is going to explain this is a separate halacha, that the ashes of the oven are automatically considered to be Muchan. Okay, so these are the dinim in the Mishnah. So the three separate dinim. So the din that concerns us tonight is the first din about whether the egg is Muks or not, based on Shalda B'yom Tov. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
I have a question.
Okay, wait. And let me get Rafi over here, then I'll get you based off David in the cyber world. Yeah, what's up, Rafi? No. When we talk about, I didn't even talk about it. We just said base session. Nolda doesn't mean like a live birth. In other words, Nolda. Well, guess what? You know, an egg is Nolad. In other words, in Mishnaic Hebrew, at least. So you refer to an egg as Nolad. That's what it means. So it's not exactly the same as English, you know, born. But that's what it goes. Okay, Pesach, did everybody hear what the question was? Okay, Pesach David, what do you got for me?
Why didn't you give us a reason why you could do the Kisui Hadam as Mitzvah Tase, Dochalota Tase?
So. One thing. So, I'll tell you. First of all, the essay. In other words, I'm causing the requirement to do the essay. In other words, if I don't shech, the essay doesn't come into play.
So once you've done it,
then I'm causing the essay to come into play. But besides that, though, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. Okay. So Pesach David is saying it should be an essay do chalot haaseh, but I think Yantav is an essay and a lotase, so I don't think that your question would gain ground anyway. In other words, I think Yantav is an essay and a lotase.
Okay.
So I think that's what the issue is. But wait, if you're here around on Yantav, come to the daf on Zayin and Ched. I'm sure it'll come up, okay? Or if it doesn't come up, we could address it then. Okay. I'm going to move on unless anybody has any more questions. Okay, we're in the Gemara on Bei Zaman Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay. So the Gemara says, what is the case focusing on the chicken, the hen, the tarnagolet that's laying the egg? What exactly is that case? He says, if the chicken is, you know, just there to lay eggs, so let me get the screen straightened out. Sorry, I don't know. Can you all see me in the cyber world?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So the Gemara says, if the chicken was there for eating purposes, in other words, this chicken is like walking lunch, it's walking food. So he says, So then the egg we view as part of the food. In other words, I have the chicken, the egg came from the chicken. So food is not muksa, right? Food is not muksa. So it's like taking like a loaf of bread, and if the loaf of bread is not muksa, the slice of bread from the loaf is not muksa. So if the mother chicken is omed la'achil, it's been designated for food, I'm going to shecht it, I could shecht it on Yantiv, so why should the egg be muksa? Okay, so again, Beit Shammai says not muksa, but he also says it is muksa. That's what we're trying to say. So the Gemara says, "If I ask you, let me try to go in and lachil the my time I debate Hillel, uchla de ifratu." So uchla de ifrat means a piece of food that's separated from the larger piece of food. So that we don't understand it. So if it's a omed lachila, that's a kasha. We'll come back later on. We don't understand Beit Hillel if it's omed lachila. Ela b'tarna golad ho omed lagadel beisim. So if it's not the chicken, could be there for one of two reasons: it's either omed lachila or omed lagadel beisim. So if it's not omed lachila, so by process of elimination, it's omed et legadel beisim. It's just there to lay eggs, not to shech, but just to produce the eggs. So, but if it's just there to produce eggs, my tamay de Beit Shammai muksahi. So then what would be the reason Beit Shammai says the egg is not muksa? In other words, tarnagol omed et legadel beisim, that would be muksa on yantiv. I'm not taking it as food. It's nothing to do with yantiv. So mela, that's muksa, and animals generally are muksa on yantiv. So if that's the case, so what's the reason Beit Shammai who says that it's not muksa? So either way, we have a difficulty. So the Gemara says to Mike Kusher, what type of question is that? Dil Beit Shammai late lahu muksa. Maybe Beit Shammai doesn't hold for muksa. So if you remember, we had this in Masechet Shabbat, the machloka between the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, which I'll read the Rashi in a minute. So it talks about what Rabbi Yehuda it lay muksa and Rabbi Shimon late lay muksa. We said Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muksa. It means Rabbi Yehuda has an expansive view of muksa, and Rabbi Shimon has a narrower view of muksa. They both hold for muksa. There's nobody who doesn't hold for muksa, but it means how expansive a view do I have of muksa? So where does this come to express itself? Let's say I have a lamp on Yantiv, and the candle, or Shabbos, the candle is burning, and there's oil, it's an oil reservoir, and then the fire goes out. So is that oil muksa? Is that oil muksa? So there's a klal when it comes to muksa. If something is muksa for Bein HaShmasho going into Shabbos or Yantiv, let's say I wash a shirt on Friday afternoon, I hang up the shirt to dry. So that shirt is muksa going into Shabbos. So if on Shabbos the shirt is dry, it's still muksa because it was muksa going into Shabbos. Anything which is muksa going into Shabbos doesn't lose its status during Shabbos. So that's the sheath of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the oil going into Shabbos was fuel for the fire. That's part of muksa. It's part of the whole fire operations, muksa. So, but then the fire went out. So Rabbi Shimon holds that the oil is not muksa anymore. That the status can change on Shabbos or Yantiv. That's the way Rabbi Shimon holds. So Rabbi Shimon lately muksa and Rabbi Yehuda itlay muksa. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. We'll do a few more lines and I'll pause. Okay, let's take it back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Why Kusha didn't Beit Shammai late luhu muksa? Maybe Beit Shammai, they don't hold from muksa, meaning they don't hold from an expansive view of muksa. So the fact that this egg was inside the mother chicken, in other words, things could change on Yantiv according to Beit Shammai. The fact that it was muksa ben Hashmasho doesn't mean it's going to be muksa the rest of Shabbos. So the fact that the egg was in the mother chicken going into Yantiv, the mother chicken was legato beitzim, that was muksa." But now facts have changed. Now lay the egg. Now I could view it as food. So maybe that's why Beit Shammai doesn't view it as muksa. He says, "Dilma Beit Shammai late luhu muksa." The Saka Daitin, we think, afiluman d'shari b'muksa. So the Gemara explains why we had the question. So that would be the Hesber, the way we would go. So that's the way we think. Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon. They don't hold for muksa. So maybe the egg is not muksa, we think. And then Beit Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he does hold for muksa. And if you see again, if you look at the Rashi, the eighth narrow line of Rashi upstairs, like luhu muksa, the dilma krib shimon sphere luhu, maybe they hold like krib shimon, the amar b'perakira, motar shem shibaneir b'shibakara, asur, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, or just asur, the tanakama hold, leftover oil that's in the, nair means the lamp, or the ka'ara, the bowl with the oil, but it's also for a lamp. So, is asur, Rabbi Shimon matir, Rabbi Shimon is matir. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, why we had the question. So how could we? So the Gemara says, "Kasaka daitin." We think, "Afiluman d'shari b'muksa b'nolad asor." We think that nolad. This is a case of nolad. Nolad is a type of muksa. Nolad is like this, where the egg is nolad on Shabbos or Yantiv. We think even the manda amar, which is Reb Shimon, who's matir with muksa, but nolad is more extreme, right? with Reb Shimon's case, the oil existed in the world. The oil was being used for one purpose, and now the purpose changes. Nolad, the egg, I mean, it's inside the mother. It doesn't exist. It's not available. I can't touch it, move it, and things like that. That's a much more extreme case. So the Gemara says, our thinking is right now that even Reb Shimon, who's matir, he says that even though somebody with books of Ben Hashmasha doesn't need books of the rest of Shabbos, he's matir things like the oil and the lamp. But the egg, he wouldn't be matir. So even Reb Shimon, who's the lenient opinion, would hold as a nola, the egg is mutzah. So the Gemara says, Kisaka daikna kumaman destroyed the looks of the molad asar. So that being the case, my tamayid beit shamai. So again, we're assuming that the mother chicken is legadil beitim. So it's legadil beitim, so we understand why Beis Hillel says mutzah. That makes a lot of sense. How does Beit Shammai say it's not muksa? Even if they hold like Reb Shimon, it should be muksa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Leolam b'tanagolot omet legadol beitzim. So Rav Nachman says, you're right. We're talking about the mother chicken was legadol beitzim. But udid le muksa itle nolad, udid le muksa late nolad. We're changing the rules of the ground rules. The what, or at least according to Rav Nachman, the tzad that holds from muksa, i.e. Reb Yehuda, he holds from nolad. That's not the Kiddush. Would Leile Muksa, the one Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold from Muksa, Leile Nolad. He doesn't hold from Nolad. So it all rises and falls together. So our problems, we think, are solved. So again, we have an even break between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Hillel, who's Machmir here, is going to hold like the Tan Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda, Itle Muksa, and he'll hold from Nolad. And then on the other side, we have Beit Shammai, and they say that the egg is not Muksa because they don't hold Leile Muksa. They hold like Reb Shimon, Leile Muksa. And Nolad also, we think he doesn't hold from. So the Gemara says, Beit Shammai Reb Shimon, and Beit Hillel Reb Yehuda. Okay? All right, well, let me just pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far?
I have a quick question.
Okay, wait a second. I got a question here that I'll take you there in a little bit. Sorry. Okay. Wait. What is the mother chicken for? We did that already, right? And we said if the mother chicken is for eating... So it's for laying eggs, so that's what we're saying. So what's the problem? Again, we're saying the mother chicken is to lay eggs. Mother chicken is to lay eggs.
Then it's not walking food.
And it's not walking food, right. It's no lie. But we think now that Rabbi Hudu doesn't hold from Muksa, doesn't hold. Rabbi Hudu who holds from Muksa holds from Nolad. Shimon, who doesn't hold from Muksa, doesn't hold from Nolad. That's the way we're going with this. And that's Beit Shammai's Hillel. Pesach Tavid, what do you got for me?
I assume even if you designated it as a chicken for laying eggs, if you shechted it anyway, and you found an egg inside, it's okay.
No, wait. First of all, if you thought before Yantav that it's Omet Legato Beitzim, you're not allowed to shecht it. The whole chicken is Muksa. Okay. We'll get into that finding eggs in the animal. Yeah, what's up, Rafi? Milking a cow. Right. So remember, that's a different question, a mefarik. That's a tolda. It's a malacha on Shabbat to milk a cow. We discussed this when we did Masech Shabbat. Milking a cow, you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbat. That's correct. What? So on Yantiv, I don't think you, it's a question. So the issue they get in is with Sar Balei Chaim with the cows and they have I think machinery in Israel do it and then but in terms of milking that mefarik we said again with the malachot or from Lisha going forward so I don't think you're allowed to milk the cow on Yontif to get the milk. Okay, let's see. Let me go further in the Gemara and let's see where we go with this. Okay. What? Again, ochel nefesh is not everything, right? Ochel nefesh, I can't plant a seed in the ground and say it's ochel nefesh. Let's say I have dash, I have grain, and I want to take the husk off the grain and grind it. So it's also ochel nefesh. We said it was machloket rishonim, whether that's permitted or not. So the Bali Tosfot is coming up in the Masechet. So the Tosfot is going to say that it's just from Lash going forward. But with his malacha is a told of dash. Mafarek taking the milk from the cow is a told of dash. So I don't think it's permissible. But it might be told that we've got machloket rishonim that we discussed. Okay. Okay, please. I let me just go further. We're running far afield from this. Okay. Let me just get through this again, and then we'll open up the floor for the discussion. Okay. So now the Gemara says, we're 8 lines from the bottom on Beis Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, so the way we are now, we think all our problems are resolved, right? So Rav Nachman says that Beit Shammai holds like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't hold from Mutzi, doesn't hold from Nolad. And Beit Hillel holds like Reb Yehuda, they hold from Mutzi, they hold from Nolad. And Mimela, now we explain the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Umim Rav Nachman Hachi, did Rav Nachman really say that Beit Hillel is lined up with the Tana Reb Yehuda? For Hatanan, you learn in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat. Beit Shammai Umrim, Magbim Yel Shulchan Atzimotu Klipin. Beit Shammai says that on Shabbat, a person can lift off the table atzamotu klipin, bones, means like animal bones, and klipin and peels. Now, the way Rashi seems to learn, it's not really for even Ma'achal Behema, but Tosfos learns, easy to understand, it's not really for human consumption, but it's really for animal consumption. So Beit Shammai says, under those circumstances, I can lift it off the table. It's not muksa. Ubit hilomrim, misalik at a tabla kuluminara. They would have some sort of board on the table, and Beit Hillel says, you won't touch the item directly, you'll lift the board and then it will come off. And Rashi learns, and Tosfos learns in one shot, Tosfos learns in one shot, it's a basis of davra asur v'amutar. Again, you know, when it comes to Hilchot Shabbat and Hilchot Yantiv, you have the 39 Malachot, and it's important to get bekiyas with that, which could take years. But then you have a lot of dinim amuksa, and dinim amuksa have their own klalim, and it's a whole different mikso. And then within muksa, you have different categories of muksa. So one item is basis adavar asur v'amutar. Something supports that which is permissible and that which is prohibited. So then that item does not become muksa. That's why Tosfos in one pshat recommends says that way. But anyway, the main point you see is that Beit Hillel says, Masalik at a tabla kula minara, Beit Hillel holds that you could do it. But Amara, so the way we have the Mishnah right now, Beit Shammai says not muksa, and Beit Hillel says yes, muksa. But Amar Rav Nachman, but then Rav Nachman says concerning that Mishnah, Anu, Ein Lanu will Beit Shammai Kareb Yehuda, Beit Hillel Kareb Shimon. And Rav Nachman says that version in the Mishnah, Masech Shabbat, is not correct. You have to flip over the Shitot. The Shitot that's ascribed to Beit Shammai should be Beit Hillel. And the Shitot that's ascribed to Beit Hillel, you have to ascribe to Beit Shammai. That, the same Rav Nachman who gave the Pshat here said that there. Meaning that Beit Hillel is the one who says that I can lift off the Muksa items at Shabbos. In other words, Beit Hillel is the one who holds, you would say, lately Muksa, right? In other words, he holds a more circumscribed view of Muksa. And Beit Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have a complete stira from what we did. All right. I don't know if Beit Shammai could Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Hillel could Rabbi Shimon. So Amalak Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman would say to you, Kabi Shabbat, the Satam Lantana Kareb Shimon. He says that you're right. In other words, I Rav Nachman explained both ways, but Rav Nachman himself is not saying this. The Gemara is saying that Rav Nachman would say this, though. Rav Nachman would say, let me say it outside, then we'll do it inside. By Shabbos, there's a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, that paskins like Rav Shimon. So we want Beit Hillel to always be lined up with the halacha. So since you have the lenient position of Gabi Shabbos, so that we're going to ascribe to Beit Hillel, because the halacha always follows Beit Hillel. And by Yantiv, we have a Mishnah which paskins like an anonymous Mishnah with this paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, the stringent opinion. And there we want Beit Hillel to be that way as well. And the Gemara will ask, you know, we'll see in a minute. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, so five lines to the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Lach Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman would say to you, Gabi Shabbat, Satam Lan Tana Kareb Shimon. By Shabbos, Satam Lan means that Tana, he formulated the Mishnah in an anonymous fashion. He says, Kib Reb Shimon, like the Tana Reb Shimon, which is leniently. He says, Didnan, how do I know that? Because we learn another Mishnah Masechet Shabbat, Mefachin Adilun Pnei Behema. You're allowed to chop up gourds before the Behema. This has got nothing to do with Muksa. It's just, it's not Tirhud Lav Tzorahu. On Shabbos and Yantiv, you're not allowed to do activity which is unnecessary effort. And even though you don't think it's a big deal, but if the halacha says it's a big deal, it's a big deal. So you're allowed to chop up the gourds for the behema. And Tosfos says that these two halacha are placed together, both machate, both cutting. But the one we need is the second halacha. The hanavela lefnei haklavim means if an animal died on Shabbos, I could chop up the carcass of that animal to feed it to the dogs. The hanavela lefnei haklavim. So that case where the animal died on Shabbos, that's a case that I normally would think of as muksa. In other words, going into Shabbos, it was muksa. It wasn't ruled for anything. Now that it died, now you want to view it as dog food. So that's a Reb Shimon case. The thing was in existence, but its status is changing on Shabbos. So So there, the Tana Paskins, we don't have a Chavim. Tana Paskins, like Reb Shimon. So Mukim Lal Beit Hillel, Reb Shimon. So since the Mishnah anonymously means that Rebbe favors that halakha, so we want to work it out that Beit Hillel will be like Reb Shimon, so we're paskining that way. Aval, turn page on top line, on Bezim and Beis. Aval Gabi Yom Tov, but by Yantiv, he says, the Sat from Lantana to Rebbe Yehuda, by Yantiv, the Tana anonymously frames the halakha in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, which is the stringent position. Ditnan, how do I know that he does it that way? Ditnan, because we learn the Mishnah later on in our Masechta, Imavakin Eitzim in a Korod, you can't chop wood from a korah. Korah is something which is topped off the tree. You have a beam, but if the beam has been prepared for construction, that's muksa machmet chisaron kis. If I have something which is very valuable, so that's a type of muksa, but now I want, so I can't take something which is muksa and take wood for it, even allowed to have a fire on yantiv. And here's the key, I can't take wood from a beam that broke on yantiv. So the beam broke on yantiv. The beam is not valuable anymore. The beam is only for use as firewood. And so its status changed on yantiv. That's a case like with Reb Shimon. So Reb Yehuda says, immediately tied the Benish Masho to Ketzai Lekul Yoma. It was muksa going into yantiv, it's muksa the whole yantiv, but that's what the Mishnah says. He says, Veloman HaKorosh Nishbarabi Yomtov. So if the beam broke on yantiv, it means the beam was not a beam part of a building, it was a beam that was for construction, like lying on the ground or whatever, and it broke. So I'm not allowed to cut off pieces of it. So Mukim Lav Lebeit Hillel. So there the Tana anonymously cites the halacha and Paskins like Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda. So he says Mukim Lav Lebeit Hillel, Reb Yehuda. So by Yantiv we're going to say Beit Hillel is like Reb Yehuda, and on Shabbos we're going to say Beit Hillel is like Reb Shimon. Okay, that's the way the Gemara wants to say. Okay, so let's just digest for a second. So we're working with our pshat in the Mishnah, and we said the point about a tarnagolet that's omitted. Legago Basin. It's a tarnagolet that's there to raise chicks. So if it's an omen of the regular basin, so how does Beit Shammai matir moving the eggs? So the Gemara says that it all rises and falls together. If the one who holds if you hold lately mukhs like Rav Shimon does, he doesn't hold from Nolet, we think. And Rav Yehuda does hold from mukhs, it does hold from Nolet. But then the Gemara says, but it seems to, the way you're saying it, Beit Hillel holds like the Tana Rav Yehuda. But the same Rav Nachman who gave that pshat, he says by Yantiv, he says Beit Hillel really holds like Rav Shimon. So it's a steering. How can he say that Beit Hillel holds like Rav Yehuda, the Gabi did in Yantiv, but he says the Gabi Shabbos, that Beit Hillel holds like Rav Shimon? How could that be? So the Gemara says that in Achinami, this is the way Rav Nachman would respond to you, that by Shabbos, the Tana, i.e. Rebbe, he formulated the anonymous Mishnah in accordance with the lenient opinion, like Rav Shimon. And so he wants Beit Hillel to be lined up with Rav Shimon. On Yantiv, he formulated the anonymous opinion like the stringent opinion, like Rebbe Yehuda. He wants Beit Hillel to be lined with that. So now, just five more lines, and then we'll pause. So line four, on Beis Amud Beis. Okay, 2b. So Mithi, let's analyze this. Man Stami Lamat Nitin, who is the one who formulated all these Mishnayot? He says Rebbe. That was Rebbe. So then it was the same person who's formulating the Mishnah by Shabbos. He's formulating the Mishnah by Yantiv. He says, my Shabbos Shabbat Satan Lan Kereb Shimon. Why? It's a stira. Why is he paskining like Rav Shimon on Shabbos, why should be Yom Tov the Satan on Rav Yehuda? Why by Yom Tov does he flip over and now we're being stringent on Yom Tov? So Amri, they said in the base Medrash, Shabbat to Chamira v'lo ati l'zulei ba. This, you see, this idea comes up in Halacha, but with Shabbos, which is so stringent, people will not like disrespect. They won't treat it lightly. He says Satan on Rav Shimon to make it. So there, he passed like Rav Shimon, the more lenient opinion. In other words, I'm not afraid people are going to like, give him an inch, they'll take a yard. You know, like that Shabbos, people know, is very chamur. He says, Yom Tov Tekiel, but Yantiv, which is less stringent, like we discussed, if you're Mechal Yantiv, amazing, you get Malko, the other way you get Skila, so obviously Yantiv is more lenient. He says, Va'ati Zulebe, people will come to disrespect it, they won't treat it as carefully, Satam Lam Ki Rebbe Yehuda Demachmir. So he paskins the more machamor sheet. In other words, if you see that people are shy with us, if you see that people are like going to the breach, so sometimes come in more machbir with it. Okay, so we think we have our working shot. Now let me just do Rashi too, and then I'll stop. I'll take some questions. So if you look at the fourth narrow line in Rashi, he says Man Satam Lan Lamat Nitin Rebbe, who's the one who formulated all the Mishnayot? Who's Seder Mishnah in the Rashi? When he saw, in other words, he saw means he favored. Like to see means like to favor. Like Roaniya Debre Admon. In other words, Roed doesn't mean to see it. In other words, like he favored. Uchtera'ah, where was it? Uchtera'ah, Divrei Chacham, B'yashu Beinav, and he liked it. Shana'an Stam. So then he would teach the halacha anonymously. He says, V'lo is kir shem omra walayhen. He didn't say X or Y says this on halacha. Initially, Shinu Yemi Piyakid. He doesn't want it like it appears like just one individual says it. V'niran kilu nishnumi piyamarubi v'yasuk motan. He likes to formulate it anonymously. This is the halacha, like this is the way everybody goes with this. Okay? So we're not going to be mezalza with it. Okay. So again, let me just repeat. We did this several times, but I'm going to repeat again, and then we'll move on. So the Gemara is trying to figure out the pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have four pshatim in the Mishnah, four pshatim in what the Mishnah means. So the working pshat we have right now is the Mishnah is, again, we're trying to figure out, why Beit Shammai says no muktzah issue and why Beit Hillel says there is a muktzah issue. So we think right now the Mishnah is talking about a tarnagolet home and the gag lebeitim. It's a tarnagolet just made to lay eggs. So that's muktzah. Tarnagolet the gag lebeitim, that's muktzah. In other words, not food. I can't take it as food. It's a muktzah animal. And that's it. It's muktzah. So if that's being the case, so how is it that Beit Shammai says you can eat the egg? So we said, we think right now the Beit Shammai is following Reb Shimon. He's got the more narrower view of muktzah. He's the one with the lamp with the oil, and he says the oil you could use for other purposes if the fire goes out. So we think that Beit Shammai is following Reb Shimon, and we think that Reb Shimon would also not hold from Nolad, which is more of a chiddush, because Nolad is more of a chiddush that we discussed already because it wasn't in the world, and that Beit Hillel on the hand holds like Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda holds from Nolad as well. Then we said there was a stira with the way that they pass in the, if this is the case, so it's a stira between the way, and Rav Nachman gave that hesber, and Rav Nachman explains that Beit Hillel by Shabbos doesn't hold like Reb Yehuda, so we explained that in Achinami, that he wants everything to be lined up with Halacha, and Rebbe paskin more leniently by Shabbos and more stringently by Yantiv. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Hi.
What's up,
Bernie? Can we go back to the shirt? Is there anyone?
Wait, let me hear the shirt. Go ahead.
The shirt right. That wasn't ready before Shabbos, that was left to dry.
In other words, it wasn't ruwi to be worn going into Shabbos. I washed the shirt. It's a wet shirt. So it's not ruwi for any use going into Shabbos. Go ahead.
Is that a case of nolad? Because now it's ruwi and there was no ruwi?
No, that's not a case of nolad.
Because the shirt existed, though not in its proper form.
It's not a case of nolad. Okay.
Would Beit Shammai say you can use that shirt?
Well, again, this is all in the Hava Mina. In other words, Reb Shimon would say I could use the shirt. Reb Shimon would say I could use the shirt. Okay. But the halacha we hold, you can't use the shirt. Okay, I want to be clear.
I understand.
All right.
Can you touch the eggs, or you can't even touch them?
Okay, you're talking about a din in muksa. So muksa is you're not allowed to move muksa. So theoretically, if you touch it and it does not move, you don't violate the din of muksa.
I can't move it.
So most poskim say it's a din to Rabbanan. We'll see there's a sheet in Rashi that holds at least one type of muksa is doraisa. Okay, we'll see in a minute. All right, now let's take a look further in the Gemara. All right. Okay, so we're around line 8 on Beis Amid Beis. Everybody with me? Okay. So B'mayu Kimtus, what do we say the pshat was in the Mishnah? The Tarnagolet Omed at the Gadol Beitzim. And we're talking about a mother chicken that's, there to lay eggs. And the issue in the Mishnah is one of muksin. That's the way we're going with. Ihachi, if that's true, Adimiflagi Bebeitza, Liflagu B'Tarnagolet. So if that's the pshat in the Mishnah, why is it that the Tana has to teach me this case? The chicken lays an egg, I can have a much more pasha. I'll say I have a tarnagolet ha'omed legadol beitzim. I have a chicken that's there going into yantiv. I thought it's just laying eggs. And then on yantiv, I change my mind, and now I want to use it for lunch. What? I don't need to get involved with the egg. I'll just say like that. And then we'll say, Beit Shammai b'Hillel have machloka, whether it's muktzah or not, right? The status changes over yantiv, and Beit Shammai holds it doesn't make a difference. Okay, 1 minute. So the Gemara says the reason the Tana doesn't, we're trying to, establish this pshat. Assuming this pshat is correct, why is the reason he doesn't let's teach me chicken? Why is he with this egg case? So the Gemara says, Lo diecha kochan de Beit Shammai de Beno Lachari. So he wants to teach you, like, the extreme leniency of Beit Shammai. the Beit Shammai is makil not just by like a potential muksa issue, but even by nolad that they're a makil. That's so with nolad he has an easy egg. Teach me nolad. So the Gemara says, yeah, but still, v'leflugi b'tarna golad odiachak kochan de Beit Hillel the muksa astri. So why doesn't it still? But you're right. That would teach me the kula Beit Shammai, but he could teach me the tarna golad, and that teaches me the stringency of Beit Hillel who like a regular muksa case that he holds for muksa. In other words, migu the katsai the benish mashu the katsai the kuliyama. The chitema, maybe you'll say like this. I know why he does it that way. Koch the tera adif. It's like the Tana would rather teach me the heter. Let's see the Rashi on this. It's a famous line, a famous Rashi. Let's look. Okay, the hetera adif. Everybody have it around the 10th narrow line of Rashi. The hetera adif lay tovlo lahashmin koch the brei matir. The Tana prefers to teach. You have the Rashi. 10 lines down in the narrow lines of Rashi. Did you see it? Okay. The Tera Adiflei, Toglu Lashmin Ukoch Debrei Amatir. The Tana would rather teach me the words of the one who's lenient, Shu Somechal Shulchano, meaning Ashmuato, that the Tana, in other words, the Tana is relying on this halacha, Ve'inu Yarei Lahatir. He's not afraid to be matirit. Aval Koch Osrim in a Raya. If he answers, that doesn't prove anything. In other words, anybody could say something's prohibited. It doesn't take, but if I say something's mutar, you know, I was thinking, my father's the Colonel of Rafa, used to be a civil engineer. And during World War II, he was in Texas working on planes for the war effort. And he said to me that in other areas in engineering, so let's say you're building a bridge, he said to me, and you're not sure, you know, how much steel do I need? So yeah, more steel. It's like, it doesn't hurt. You know, the more the merrier. Fine, I'm good. I don't know how the theory works, but he says, with airplanes, I have to know how much do I need. I don't want to have added weight that I don't need. So you have to know exactly what's necessary. So that's what he's saying here. That the Tana, if he teaches me the Chiddush, it's Matir, that's maybe he'll say, Koch da Tera Adif. And that's why he wants to teach me the way Beit Shammai has it. But let's see back in the Gemara. Maybe we'll say that way. So even if I say that, Beniflog Betarvayu, but we could. It's easy to have machloket on both of them. It's not like a different ukimta, a different back pattern. Tarnagolot omit legadol beitz and hiu beitz ata. The Tana could say, if I have a chicken that's omit legadol beitzim, if and it's beitza, Beit Shammai rim teachel. Beit Shammai says you want to eat the mother chicken, you can eat that. You want to eat the egg, you can eat that. And then Beit Hillel says you can't eat it. So again, so we had our pshat, but the Gemara is asking a kashya against the pshat. In other words, if the pshat is correct, why does the Tana not, if that's the only thing that's an issue, is the muksa issue, so the Tana should teach me also the chicken case. And that way he teaches me the chumra of Beit Hillel, and he teaches me the kula of Beit Shammai, and it's pashut. Why does he not teach me those cases? Correct. Okay, so that was pshat number one. We're moving on to different pshat, okay? So everybody okay with pshat number one? Well, the Gemara says Ella. What does Ella mean? That's it. Okay. So anyway, now any questions, comments, thoughts that we got going? What's up? Yeah, but that's the issue that we're discussing. We said according to Reb Shimon, remember Reb Shimon, we're operating not the halacha as we know it today, but in the world of the Tanaim. So we said Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda have a machloket, right, with the oil, with the lamp, and the lamp goes out on Shabbos. So is the oil muksa or not? So Reb Shimon says not, right? And so it's that's what we're talking about. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now the next topic is going to get into the topic of Chana de Rabba. Okay. Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, "Elo Amar Rabba." Rather, Rabba says this is a different shot. So press delete on everything you learned or understood up till now. Okay. I don't mean delete, but you know, put it in a different category. Okay, a different compartment. Elama Rabba, the olam tarnagol omed la'achila. So Rabba says, no, in Achinami, we're talking about the chicken, was omed la'achila. So if it's omed la'achila, so yeah, Beit Hillel, we can't understand it. But why does Beit Hillel ask for the egg? Uviyom tov shechal yorachar shabbat askinan. We're talking about a yantiv, which comes out on a Sunday, umishum hachana. And the issue here is one of hachana. So here's my focus between Rashi and Tosos and most Rishonim. So let me say that outside, then we'll do it inside, and then we'll take questions, okay? So Rashi holds that any food that I use on Shabbos or Yom Tov, I have to designate before Shabbos or Yom Tov. And that, Rashi holds, is the din of Hachana de Rabba. It's based on a pasuk in Chumash. So that's a din Torah, And Rashi learns that muksa, if you look at the Rashi, it says the Tamidama Rabba, but Sakam, the Yalak Nihaka, the muksa Doraita. He says, we learn from here that muksa is a din Doraisa. Who asked me about muksa before? You, right. So most Rishonim say it's a din Dorabanan. Rashi's learning a din Doraisa. And so I have to designate it ahead of time. But the Bali Tosfot, another Rishonim learned, this is what Rav Shechter was explaining to me today, but I saw it in the Ran. He says that, that Hakana doesn't mean that I have to designate it before Shabbos or Yantiv. It just means that if it was prepared, let's say on a Shabbos for Yantiv, and I would use it, I'd violate the Dinim of Hakana. Not that I have to designate it ahead of time, but if it was prepared on Shabbos and then Yantiv's on a Sunday, then I'm going to violate the Dinim of the Dinim of Hakana. All right, we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, let's see back in the Gemara. So I'm going back a few lines. Elam Rabba, the Elam Tarnagolah, Minit Lachi. They're talking about a Tarnagolah that was there for eating purposes. The Mishnah is talking about Yomtiv that came out on a Sunday. So Shabbos and then Sunday. So the issue of the egg is a problem of Hachana. In other words, according to Rashi, the egg wasn't designated on Chol for Yomtiv. We'll see in a minute. And according to the Balei Tosfot, not that it wasn't designated, but if it was prepared on Shabbos for Yomtiv, I violated. Rabba holds that any egg that's laid today got completed yesterday. So the egg is laid on Yantiv Sunday, the egg was completed on Shabbos. That's the way Rabba learns. Okay, so Rabba l'ta'ame, so Rabba follows the Shita, and this is called Hachanan de Rabba. He says, Rabba l'ta'ame, Dama Rabba, my dechi, he quotes on Pasuk, Vayaba yom ha-shishibe, echinu v'asher yaviyu. On Friday, they'll prepare that which they bring. It's talking about with the man preparing for Shabbos. Chol meichin l'Shabbat. The weekday prepares for Shabbos. A Yom HaShishi is weekday. They're preparing for Shabbos. The chol meichin l'Yantiv. Weekday prepares also for Yantiv. The ein Yom Tov meichin l'Shabbos. Yantiv can't form Yantiv. Yom Bayaba Yom HaShishi beichin l'Shariviu. On Friday, which is chol, you prepare for Shabbos. You don't prepare on Yantiv for Shabbos. Shabbos also does prepare for Yantiv. So let's go slowly with this. So we're saying that if the egg is laid on a Sunday and Yantiv, if the egg is laid on a Yantiv, which is on a Sunday, so the egg got prepared on Shabbos. That violates the Dinim HaKana D'Rabba. Either according to Rashi, it wasn't designated as food going into Shabbos, before Shabbos, and according to Bali Tosfot, you don't have to designate it, but it was prepared on Shabbos for Yantiv, so that's running into a problem. That's why it's muksa. Nothing else. The Hachana de Rabba. He says, so wait, Amarle Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabba, Ben Rabba was his Rebbe. So Amarle Abaye, and Rabba was his uncle also. Amarle Abaye, Elamiata, Yomtiv Ba'alma Tishtri. So if that's the case, so then when an egg is laid on a garden variety Yantiv, which is not on a Sunday, it should be permissible. It's only Yantiv after Shabbos. So he says, no. Gzeira Mishim Yomtiv Achar Shabbat. Means every Yantiv, the egg is prohibited, because some yantivs come out on the Sunday after Shabbos. So we don't want people to get permished with the different yantivim. This yantiv is prohibited, this is permissible. So they're always prohibited. So the Gemara says, Shabbat de Alma Tishri, he says, but Shabbos in general, the eggs laid on Shabbos should be permissible. Gzeira Mishim Shabbat Achar Yom Tov. So that's Gzeira when yantiv comes out on a Friday. So either way. So in other words, the main concern is egg laid on Shabbos for when yantiv's on a Friday. Main concern on Yantiv, which is on a Sunday, egg laid on that Yantiv because it's prepared on Shabbos, because it's always prepared the day before. So every other Shabbos, every other should be permissible? No, because we're making one rule for all the days. So the Gemara says, we make a gzera like that, but Tanya, hashochet at a tarnagolet, umatzaba beitzim gemur. Somebody asked me about shechting and finding eggs, and who asked me about that before? All right, either way. So he says, who did Pesach David? You did?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So here we got it. See, if you wait, patience, everything comes in Daf Yomi. So the Gemara says, Omigas read about time. We learn in the Braisa later on in Daf Vav, which is within the next week. It goes very quickly with Daf Yomi. Tanya, Hashoket at a Tarnagolet, if a person slaughtered a chicken, Umatzaba Beitzim Gmurot, and he found completed eggs in the gut of the chicken, Mutarot La'achlan B'yomto. You're allowed to eat those eggs on Yantiv. And if it's true what Rabbi is saying, that we make gzeira for beitza shenol de b'yom tov, ligzor mishum hanatim galdim b'yomeon. So we should make gzeira from the eggs that were laid on a regular day that got completed the day before. So Amar Lei, so he answered, Rabbi did, basin who are named on milta lo shchichai. Completed eggs, find completed eggs in the gut of a chicken is unusual. Milta lo shchicha lo gazru b'ravan. And the Chachamim didn't make a gzeira for that case. In other words, that's an unusual case if you found it there. And in other words, he wants to say that you should make a gzeira because eggs that are laid are completed the day before. So you shechted the chicken, you found the eggs there. So I should make a gzeira because of that case. But that's a very unusual case to find completed eggs in the chicken. So we're not going to go further with that. Okay. But,
does rubber hold from
it? Okay. Now, all right. So Yosef asked me, isn't it a problem with gzeira to gzeira, which the Gemara is going to take up in a different instance. But if you look at Rashi, around 10 lines from the bottom in Rashi, he goes in gzeira to gzeira, he says, one second. Yeah, I'm sorry. The third wide line in Rashi. Bim Tomar, Hybrid Lexera, Lexera, Dahadoth Galmil Mehon, Nami in a Surlim Shim Xera, Diom Tabakar Shabbat. So let's start off. So the first thing is if it's a Yantav on a Sunday and it lays an egg, I got a problem. And because of that, we're extending it to every Yantav. So isn't that Xera the Xera? In other words, we have one Xera that if you assume like the most Rishonim, that's like a Din de Rabbanan with this. So that's one gzera, and then I'm licking everything else. So he says taritz. So you should explain hamatzi luk me biyom tov achar shabbat the hashda ikul migzar atuhanas miyalam biyomehon. One second. Okay, so first with the chicken that was shefted on Yontiv, so we view the eggs as the limbs of the chicken. That's why that's not both that he has. Now he has, what's the second? Means that they were laid on their normal time. Right. So, in other words, normally the eggs are, if an egg is laid on a different day of the week, in other words, if a yantiv comes on another day of the week, that's a gzera. So, he says, right, I understand. Yeah. So he says, one second. Right. So, Shavuot yomtov. He goes, Rinan. I think Rashi's saying, right, so the case would be if I would say, in other words, he's saying, let's say I would find the eggs inside the mother chicken. That would be Xera the Xera. In other words, I shechted the chicken on a Wednesday, and inside the chicken I found eggs. So if the eggs had been born, that would be the Xera. Now I find it in the chicken, so I should ask for those eggs because of the other one. That's really the Xera the Xera. That would be the Xera the Xera. Until my hobby, the Xera the Xera, the Hanan Yalbe Omeon, Nami no Sulu Bisham Xera, the Yom Tabachar Shabbat. Taris, Hamatzilut Mebiyom Tov Achar Shabbat. Right. So we could say, that could be the case. Right. The Hasha Ikul Mizar, right. But yeah, in other words, he wants to say, but even if it is that case, we don't make Gzera. That's the case with that. Okay. But you're right. It's not, the first thing is not the Gzera. The Gzera is extending it. Okay. I have to run, and let me just wrap it up. I have to wrap it up. Give me a minute. Okay. He says, okay. So Milo Shlichah Lo Gazer Rabbanan. Okay, now, so we did two pshatim so far, two lines from the bottom.
Rav Yosef Amar in Zerim Shem Perot Anoshim. Rav Yosef says the eggs have a din in Muksa. It's Perot Anoshim. In other words, it was you can't eat the egg according to Beit Hillel because of fruit that come off a tree. In other words, there's Gzeira that I can't eat fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos and Yontif. Because I'm afraid if I permit the fruit that fell off the tree, people come to pluck the fruit off the tree on Shabbos. So Gzeira Rishon Perot Anoshim. So Perot Anoshim on Shabbos. Right. He says, Amalei Abaye, Perot Anoshim Tamamai, why can't you eat Perot Anoshim, the fruit that fell off? We're afraid that you'll go and pluck the fruit. He goofed Xera, that's Xera. In other words, this egg is one step removed. In other words, no shrimp, the apple's under the tree. That's Xera, because I may come to pluck the apple tree. Now, the egg is similar to the apple. The egg came from the mother bird. So that's similar to the apple, but that's Xera the Xera. Egg is, in other words, the first Xera is the fruit, and the second is the egg. So how can I have Xera the Xera? The Kula Kat Xera. It's all one big Xera. And at the time they made the Xera, they said that we're making Xera including eggs. Rabbi Yiska Kamar, Xera Mishum, Mashkin Shazab. Rabbi Yiska says Xera because of juices that came out of the fruit on Shabbos. He says, in other words, like if the juices come out of the fruit by themselves on Shabbos, I can't drink it. So because we're afraid of Xera Schita. Amalei Abaye, Mashkin Shazab, Tamamai, Xera Shem Yisko. So that's Xera. And then the eggs are extension from that. Okay, listen, I got to run. I'm sorry about this, but it's nice having everybody.
Yishkoch.
With you mean the last two cases? So we said, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, he says, it's four lines from the bottom. Come to the base of the front of Golan, Hometa L'Achila. Okay. All right. I gotta go. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Please, everybody, stick around so we have-